Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling in live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, where it's beautiful, warm, sunny, and not a cloud in the sky, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And hopefully our guest is in someplace warm and sunny today, too. I have been really looking forward to today's show to bring back to the air Mark Harris, the founder and host of the Joint Venture Summit coming up in March. Hello, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Gina. How are you?
I am fantastic. Is it sunny and warm where you're at, too?
No, it's freezing cold. It's actually supposed to be in the 20s tonight, which I'm in San Antonio, but it was like 68 degrees yesterday, and it just went straight down, and of course, it's going to be 60 and 70 in a couple of days, I guess, but the way it goes.
My folks live in Chicago, and I was talking to my mom over the weekend. She was telling me that the Iditarod sled race up in Alaska had to be canceled because it's too warm and there wasn't enough snow. And she's like, they could hold it down here and be just fine. We're at 30 below zero today.
That's crazy. Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That is nuts. It really is. Talk about a paradigm shift, right?
It really is. And I brought the story up because that's really what today's call is about, isn't it? A paradigm shift.
And you see, you know what a paradigm is?
Tell us.
It's four nickels. Four dimes. A paradigm is either two dimes or it's four nickels. And that's a paradigm shift.
And that's really what joint ventures are about, isn't it?
Exactly.
So
they really
I'm
are.
Let
because
you do the honors of it is. And I'm going to let you do the honors of telling everyone a little bit more about who you are, just to remind them from the show that we did a couple months ago now, about you as a thought leader, as an entrepreneur, an amazing strategist.
Well, you know, over the last, 30 years since, even more than that, actually, I was 8 years old as an entrepreneur. But bottom line is I learned over the last, couple decades anyway, that really there's two big things in life. And they don't typically teach you these in schools, even though they're the two of the biggest and most important thing in life, at least when it comes to being successful and all that. And that is basically thinking and leadership. And thinking and leadership, that's why I'm in the thought leadership business. My company is the Thought Leadership Alliance, and you'll see why. Because basically, all the great things and success, and I can make it simply put, after 20 years of research, people like Napoleon Hill created a 1,300-page volume that basically had everything about how to be successful. But when he created the summary of it, he called the summary of that whole study Think and Grow Rich, because thinking was the core of all the elements of success. It was everything to do with your mind and all the things that your mind can do and everything that can make happen. And these ideas that you can create in your mind, which is the simplest element of what thinking can do, ideas can change the world. They can change everything. They can change businesses, nations. They can change your company. They can change your family. Sounds like I'm getting a little feedback, by the way, but I just kind of let you know. But
sounds okay over here.
It does. Okay. So in the meantime, thinking is about taking some of these ideas and actually doing some great things with them. In business, a lot of times we call that innovation. And so in these innovations could be anything from products, services, solutions, advice, whatever. And we take these things. And then, of course, if we have these beautiful things that can change people's lives, but they don't actually get out into the marketplace, if we don't lead the marketplace to understand them, if we don't lead the marketplace to be educated about them, if we don't take the time to do the thinking as well as the leadership, to communicate and package these ideas in a way to be accepted and adopted and bought by people, then of course that's a tragedy, and of course our businesses fail. Instead, what we want to do is we want to take these great ideas and we want to turn them into, we want to lead them into the marketplace so we can literally take over markets. And so in the business world, thinking and leadership is about really taking these great innovations and marketing them effectively as leaders into the world. That's my main business. That's what I do mostly.
Sorry, I muted myself and couldn't get myself unmuted.
No problem.
Hate it when I do that. And you do that so well. On our last show, we talked a little bit about the orchestra model of doing business and what that means. And I think that's really one of the easiest ways for our listeners to wrap their heads around who you are and what you're all about. Can you share with them a little bit today of what is the orchestra model of doing business, and how does that relate to both thought leadership and joint ventures?
Well, the orchestra model basically also could be called the conductor model. It depends on how you look at it. Bottom line is that, as you actually recently said in an email, which I thought was such a neat way of putting it, you said that solopreneurship was like a myth, right? And it wasn't really true, because the fact is, and even Napoleon Hill, going back to him again, it's all about coordinated effort or organized effort, as he'd like to put it. And the fact is, if you don't have a lot of people, or even some people, doing some of the things that your organization or your company or your service needs to be done, then guess what? You're doing it all yourself. And I'll tell you what, it really stinks when you're doing it all yourself. So it's really about this, really an orchestra. It's like this, having an orchestra with one person is not really an orchestra, right? Having an orchestra, even where they have the one-man orchestra kind of stuff, it may be hilarious and funny, okay, but it's not serious. It's not a serious business or anything like that. So the same thing is, we need, as business owners, to realize that we don't want to, as one of my partners, Michael Gerber had said, look, you don't want to own your business. I mean, you don't want to run your business. You want to own your business. You don't want to be buying yourself a job. What you want to do is you want to own a business that's functioning like a system. And so the only way to do that is really to have great people doing all kinds of different things. In an orchestra, that means people playing beautiful instruments, right, of all different types and sizes. And so what happens is you have all these people who spent maybe a decade or more, maybe sometimes their whole lives, learning how to play an instrument beautifully and wonderfully and marvelously, right? And the fact is, you didn't have to spend a decade actually learning how to play the violin in order to have it be played for you and your people, right? You don't have to actually go through what they had to do. Invest the time, money, blood, sweat, tears, teaching, whatever, right? Music lessons and violins and broken violins and repaired violins. You didn't have to do any of that. Literally, as the conductor of the orchestra, you could actually simply bring on that person in a joint venture kind of relationship, and they now play beautifully for your audience. And the funny thing about orchestras is that you can have all these different people, the greatest people in the world, playing in your orchestra. And the funny thing is, people only remember the conductor's name. They almost never know the people who are in the orchestra, unless they just happen to be world famous or they do like a solo or something like that. And so what happens is, as the conductor of a marketplace orchestra, you bring in all the best talent, and what you do is you play brilliantly for, or should I have you say, you have your people, your partners, your orchestra play brilliantly for your audience. And what's really exciting about it is you don't even have to know how to play instruments. If you don't know how to play instruments, then that's fine. Matter of fact, you're probably better off not playing, okay, because you can coordinate them, and that coordinator of this marketplace orchestra is where all the money is, where all the branding is, where almost everything is. And the neat part about it is that, if one of the people in the orchestra, maybe they get old, maybe they have problems, maybe they just can't play the way like they used to, they get arthritis or who knows what, okay, you become the person that says, I really love you and everything, and I hate to have you leave, but, right now you're just not playing the violin the way you used to. Therefore, we'll find something else for you to do. But in the meantime, I have to get somebody else in here who can play so that the audience is well served. And so you become the person who really is the advocate for the entire audience. And you then bring in who needs to be brought in and have exit who needs to exit. And you create, therefore, the greatest innovation possible, because you don't have to create that innovation yourself. You simply partner with it. And that's a short answer, but you can answer the questions about it, but there's a lot more detail on how that works. But there's all the beauty and wonderfulness comes through a marketplace orchestra and being the conductor of the marketplace orchestra.
Well, I'm sure right now we have listeners going, well, that's great, but I just want to sell this thing, whether it's a coaching program, a book, a physical product. How do I become the conductor of my orchestra if I just want to sell this thing? How does it help me?
Okay, well, that means you already have your innovation. You don't need a violinist because you already have it. Somehow you created it, or you already brought in other people to kind of create a program for you, or whatever it is. Bottom line is you already have this innovation. Now, one of the issues that you may want to remember is you may not want to be one who's serving all these people in a coaching relationship yourself. You may want to bring in other people to do that. But let's just assume that you perfectly have the best innovation that your clients will absolutely love, and you can knock them dead with all you have to do is bring on the clients. If that's the case, it's a different type of joint venture relationship, okay? And that's basically called typically a marketing joint venture relationship of some kind. And so ultimately what we're saying here, believe it or not, is that to make these things happen, you really need strategic partnerships of some kind. It's really what it comes down to. And so the best way to do that is simply this. So, for instance, let's just say, give me an example of a typical kind of person who would be on this call, like a coach or whatever, give me an example. Give me a real person, maybe not a real person, but just a real example of a real type of coach or a typical industry they may be in or anything like that.
Well, it's kind of funny that I just found Rhonda Del Baccio, my former co-host and a DU faculty member, on the call and able to be unmuted. So I'll let Rhonda give you an example for real. Hello, Rhonda.
Awesome. Hi there. Delighted to hear, Mark.
Hi, Rhonda. How are you?
Great. It's like a little faculty confab here for DU. I love that.
You got it.
Let's use you as the example, Rhonda, for our listeners. Tell them a little bit about who you are and what your business is all about.
Certainly. I help visionary entrepreneurs share your message and reach people by becoming an author. And while many people are out there showing you how to write books and how to publish and so forth, what makes what I'm doing different is that I'm working with visionaries, helping you develop your legacy around that book. So for someone like me, as I think about conducting an orchestra, one thing I know is that many people are just scared to death about the thought of building these joint venture type of relationships. And for me, I see it as it's almost the easy button. I mean, because having the relationships, they are so golden and they make so many things easier. So at first it may seem like, oh my gosh, if I have to be the conductor, that means I have to have the strings working together and the flutes and the horns and, you know, all these different things, the woodwinds and the percussion. And it may sound really daunting. But the thing is, you don't have to know how to play all those instruments. You just help get people working together in a way that helps you serve your audience. So as I think about, you wanted a nice, you know, real example. What I do is think about who are my audience and who has their ear. Okay, who are the audience and who has their ear? And by connecting with those people, I can build those partnerships.
Exactly.
So can we use Rhonda as an example?
Absolutely. So, Rhonda, in your opinion, who is exactly the kind of person that you're trying to get? Somebody who's already written a book or who needs help maybe putting it together, or somebody who's already wanted to market a book? Who would you say the exact perfect ideal client for you?
People in all of those categories. The thing that's ideal is that this is a visionary person. This is somebody who isn't just trying to write a book to only to have leads for their business or rake in megabucks, but this is a visionary who wants to make a positive impact on the world, and that they're an entrepreneur. No matter where they are in their process, I can help them because what I'm teaching is a more holistic system, not just the writing of the book or just the publishing or just the marketing.
Okay. So when you say visionary, somebody who obviously has the ability already to be innovative, right? And therefore they see what they're trying to make happen. Is that what you're saying?
They're a world changer. They're a world changer type of person. They really want to have that positive impact. So that's what's really important. And I would say most of the people who find me have an idea that they want to write a book. Some of them don't know what that's going to look like yet, and some of them already have books. So,
okay.
So here's the
concept. When you're trying to do this, so using Rhonda's business here as an example, let's just say you're trying to create a joint venture relationship with somebody. Let me explain the concept first, and I'll go back to it. So I'm trying to find maybe somebody who has 100,000 people, 10,000 people, even 1,000 people on their list. Maybe it's a special newsletter. If the newsletter is called Visionary Potential Authors, okay, and that means it's got the perfect people that she's looking for, right? She's looking for people who already get it, understand it, and they want to make it happen. Now, almost never is it exactly the description you give. So what you have to do is you have to either broaden it out or really come up with some specific ideas. Because we want to create a joint venture with this company who has a list of 1,000 people. Maybe it's a newsletter. Maybe it's a community. Maybe it's a radio show like this one. Maybe it's who knows what it is. It's a blog. Maybe it's who knows what. And they have maybe spent the last decade nurturing and bringing on those, thousands of people that are all over the world that aren't easy necessarily to find, right, or to identify or to put in a group. And then what we want them to do is we want them to effectively share a message with those people. So our goal then would be to create a content package, which, remember, somebody has a newsletter every week. They wake up every morning and they say, you know what, I got to get a message out to my people that's valuable, exciting, innovative, and helpful. Okay, so I better pay one of my people to put some information together, or I got to do it myself, right? And then at the end of the day, they may or may not have some good information. But if you approach them and say, look, I have a great set of content. It will be something fantastic for you to put in your newsletter, to have on your blog, to have in your magazine, to have in your newspaper that really, really will help them understand some great things about how they can really change their life, how they can really become a better author, how they can really make it happen, how they can really make the product excellent, how they can really get out whatever the issue is, right? So what happens is that now they say, okay, that sounds good. What do we do? So what we want to do then is we create a joint venture with them where it's a win-win-win. It's got to be at least three wins in this case. The first win has got to be with the audience. That's always the first win. The second win is with them. Because if it doesn't work for them and make sure that they don't get opt-outs, that they don't, it's not yucky content, it's not too salesy, it's not too pushy, but it's educational selling, which means first it's education and then it's selling, then they can effectively want to put that in there. And then, of course, that works for you because those people can then adopt your innovation. So that's the process. So then what we want to do then is we have to really get clear about the kind of people we want. So And that's really what it comes down to. So you find those kind of people that already have that list. In this case, it could be companies with authors, like Rick Frischman is a publisher.
Yes.
Author one, one university. Okay, I was talking with him recently, and, that's an example of saying, hey, can we get you on the stage? Can we get you into your newsletters, right? Can we get you into one of these situations? And he's got lots of authors. Maybe not all of them are visionary authors. Maybe some of them are wannabes. Maybe some of those will people never do anything. At the same time, there may be enough visionary ones in there to make it worth your while, right? Maybe even your message, Rhonda, could inspire them to be visionary. Right?
Exactly.
You could actually, and you could even part, maybe that's part of the content, how to actually be a visionary author instead of, a dreamer, because, there's that old saying that, vision without action is a dream, right? You know, action with no vision is exercise. And, of course, vision with action will change the world, right? So vision with action will change the world. So what we want to do is maybe you write an article that talks about those kind of things and say, look, stop being a dreamer, start being a real true visionary, that kind of thing, and put it into action. So that kind of thing. So what would you say would be – what should we talk about next in that, Gina?
That's awesome, Mark.
Yeah, okay.
And that's the sort of thing that Rhonda's been doing already, right, Rhonda?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For me, it's very easy to think about the multiple win. I mean, it's just kind of how I'm wired.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the fun part is finding those people that have the audience. Anyone who is working with entrepreneurs, for example, you know, they're at least a likely candidate to start with. And it's just really cool. The thing that I love the most is finding those folks who have that desire to be a positive influence in the world. And the money-grubbing types just, they don't like my website, they don't want me. Well, that's okay, because I don't want them, and that's fine. Someone else will serve them beautifully, but it won't be me.
And for our listeners, Mark, that's usually where they get stuck. They hear the idea of create the win-win-win scenario, go out and find the people that have your right audience, but they don't know what that means. How do they do that? Where do they find these people? Do you have some guidance for them?
Absolutely, and that's actually why I created my Joint Venture Summit, which I got coming up in March, because people just don't know how to put all the pieces together with joint venturing. It starts really with branding and actually vision. It takes mm-hmm. this leadership quality of really taking the golden rule to mind to say, okay, let me truly put myself in their shoes. Okay, let me first put myself in the shoes of the newsletter's client and say, I'm here. Do I really need and want to make sure that this is the situation, right? Then it's about putting your shoes and your mind in the shoes of the person who owns the newsletter. You know what? Every time I send one of these things out that's a promotion, I lose 20 people who opt out, okay, because it's, you know, this. So how do we make that a win? You know, you're thinking through every element of it before you even talk to the guy,
before you
even talk to them, because that's what it's all about. And then this is the hard part, because remember, communications is the hard part. They don't really teach, thinking and leadership in the schools. You know, they don't really teach that kind of stuff. They don't have a thinking class and a leadership class, even though it's the two big things that are necessary to make things successful in life. So we have to do is learn these things, right? And what that means then is, because leadership is got lots of moving parts, because as Yogi Berra said it, you know, 90% of it is half mental, you know, which is supposed to be funny because it is, because it's just not, you know, it's just not about, you know, one element. It's like lots of things. There's, you know, how do you lead somebody who's a hardhead, right? How do you lead somebody who's skeptical? How do you lead somebody who's a novice? How do you lead somebody who's already a leader and they think they know it all? How do you, you know, all these different things, right? You have to think, you have to know how to do that. And so therefore, articulating a message that works for all of those people is not easy. And then doing it, as you see, there's a big trend going on right now, which is the first it was the information age, right? Which was around before the internet, believe it or not.
Yes, it was.
Okay, and then you had the communication age, which is really what the internet was all about, and therefore, which exploded the information age, which means it multiplied those two, you know, unbelievable breakthrough trends times each other to the point where people now, though, are so bombarded, okay, the paradox is they can't find, they can't find the real stuff in the glut of not only information, but information on everything from cell phones to internet and internet on cell phones and text and beeps and chimes and emails and everything else and books galore and magazines and all this stuff that they get bombarded with. So what's happened is that people have resorted to meeting leaders, people who have actually digested all this stuff and said, hey, you know what? I've actually studied the 2,000 articles that you could read yourself if you wanted to. And so they have to become thought leaders. They have to become the kind of people who literally now can effectively educate the market, which means you have to become the most trusted advisor to a market. So in this little three-way win-win-win situation, you have to become that trusted advisor and literally take care of all of their needs in the situation and never do anything that isn't in their absolute 100% best interest. And so so what that means is that you have to create the package, you have to create the communication, you have to do the work of making sure that it's both education and selling. Educational selling is what I call it because that's what it is. And it has to be education first because, in all fairness, you're trying to adapt, you're trying to lead them to a possible adaptation or implementation of this innovation you may have, right? So what you have to do is you have to say then, okay, how do I do this? And they have whole classes and, you know, programs on how to do educational selling, but, you know, I don't even sell them anymore, but I actually teach people how to do them at my events and things like that. But bottom line is that what you have to do is you have to remember what it is that you're talking about in a general context. Second of all, and this is probably most important, why they need it, if they need it. So why and if they need it. So it's not just why they need it. It's if you were in this situation, this is why you would need it. Now, if you're not in that situation, you don't need it, but you do need it if you have this, this, and this. So you literally show a very simple to evaluate context of when they need it and when they don't need it and why. Because, of course, the selling part has got to be the why, because you've got to give them reasons, reason after reason after reason after reason. Like if you went to my joint venture summit site, and one of the places there's 40 reasons why you need to do joint ventures. Okay? And why? Because when they're done reading that list, they want to do joint ventures because your job is not only as a leader is to get them to give them the right advice, but it's also to get them to believe, which is a hard issue, but they have to believe, not only believe you, not only believe the truth that you're talking about, but they got to believe that they can do it. And if for them to believe that they can do it, they sometimes have to see that other people you've helped have done it. They have to see, you know, and there's lots of elements that go into that. But bottom line is, educational selling really, and is creating this package of this well-communicated package with the right heart, with the right, you know, golden rule type mentality behind you, which is, you know, timeless from the scriptures and you know, and all that. It works. It really does. And therefore, you when you care about people, that shows through. When you don't care about them, you're just looking for money, as you mentioned, Rhonda, and Gina mentions all the time, is that guess what? That also shows through. And therefore, they're going to say, you know what, this person's a charlatan. This person is just in it for the money, you know. And therefore, so you got to have the right heart. You got to have the right. It's about, you know, thinking. It's about leadership, and it's about true thinking and leadership. So.
Hey, Mark, you said something really significant. Now, a lot of people would argue that we are in an attention economy, getting people's attention. But something that you said is what I feel is even deeper, at least in my humble opinion, is this is really an era of why. And if you can tap into and help people tap into why this matters, because all the how-tos in the world just make you like everybody else, how to do this, how to do that. I mean, that stuff's all over Google, YouTube, and whatever. But tapping into people's why, helping them understand, like you said, why should they care about joint ventures? Why come to the summit? The why write a book or why do whatever is much more important than the specific how-to steps.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, and here's the beautiful part about that. Yeah. When people understand the why, they can almost always figure out the how-to on their own. The reason they get stuck on the how-to is because they don't understand the why to start with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
you've done a beautiful job of this, Mark, on the agenda. If you go to askggg.com/JV Summit, askggg.com/JV Summit, scroll down to the bottom, click on the agenda. At the top of the agenda, you'll see 40 reasons why you should attend the Joint Venture Summit. They're not hiding that from people. You're putting that right up at the top of the agenda, and they are 40 phenomenal reasons that you don't want to miss the JV Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Go
and
ahead,
actually,
Ron.
Believe in that. You know, here's what's really funny. What's really funny about that, this is an inside story that I've told no one, is that I told my web designer to actually say, these are the 40 reasons why you need joint ventures.
Oh, that's
and
too
so,
funny.
And what happened was they thought it was, oh, to go to the joint venture summit because they're used to doing it that way. And I just kept it. But it was really funny because I was just trying to educate them about why they needed joint ventures. But reality is that they're one and the same.
Well, yeah, it is. And I understand the educational reason why you should come to the summit may come across some people feeling it's a little in your face. But yet when you start reading the list, it's, oh, my gosh, it really does make it easier, not harder. I mean, everybody wants things to be easier these days, and nobody wants to do the – and there's still definitely work. I mean, there's just no tap one button and your whole joint venture thing is done and you can go snooze on the beach. But it does make so many things easier because that anything you want or need for your business or to serve your audience can come through that. And that's what I love is I don't have to do every single thing. I don't have to know all the ins and outs of publishing. I can have a publishing faculty where that's their thing and their expertise. And I can do me and they can do them. And everybody's happy and everybody is better served than me trying to, you know, figure it out or come up with it or whatever on my own.
That's right. That's right. Well, what would serve the audience next best, Jean, in your opinion?
Well, obviously, the way to find JV partners is to come to the Joint Venture Summit. There is no one listening to this call that wouldn't find great JV partners at the summit. But if for some reason they can't join us in Atlanta March 11th to the 13th, how else can they go about finding great JV partners?
Well, that's a good question. The problem with that is that it's I'll do it this way. I'll tell you there's 12 different workshops that we have at the summit, and each one of them is designed to actually tell you just that. So if I told you some of those, that would be helpful. So, for instance, one session is called the Association Joint Ventures. Okay. Actually, before I do that, let me go back. And we have three different days. There's four different workshops going on simultaneously. So it's 3 days, four each. Therefore, you get 12. But basically, the first thing is message to market, okay? So as an example, one of the things you have to realize is this content thing. And content JVs are some of the biggest that you could ever imagine. Because I guarantee you, because of the Internet and the ability to have literally the – there's maybe only 3,000 people in the world who love blue flowers, okay, or whatever. Okay, I just have a little blue flower that one of my daughters drew a picture for me in front of me, so I figured I'd pick that one. But bottom line is, you have this blue flowers. They love blue flowers, everything about blue flowers, how to grow blue flowers and whatever else, right? And because of the Internet, before then, there would never be a TV show about blue flowers. There would never be a newsletter that's sent out to people about blue flowers because it's too hard to find them, whatever. But on the Internet, you could find 3,000 people who are excited about blue flowers, okay, because there's, you know. So now what you can do is you can easily find people with these newsletters and all that, and every single one of them needs to have content that serves the audience of people who loves blue flowers. Now, for some reason, I don't know what it is, maybe you're a beekeeper that, I don't know what it is, but whatever reason you have, okay, for contacting those kind of people, you can now contact those people. And so that's one example. Now, if it's something where it's maybe, say, professional-based or business-based, then you'd have something like an association, like I was going to say. So, for instance, you wanted to get a hold of all the lawyers in the country. One of the best ways to do that would be to figure out a way to do a partnership with the, the American Bar Association or something like that. And they have access to them. And if it's the right content piece, they will absolutely share it with those guys. Okay, and they'll do it probably for nothing. In fact, because they're already paying to create great content. Actually, they're paying for lousy content. So instead of paying for lousy content, how do they get great content that they actually make money on, if they're allowed to? Maybe that's a conflict thing. But regardless, okay, you may just get it for free. So as an example, we have one of the best guys in the country okay, who's going to head up a part of the workshop on association joint ventures, who actually teaches you exactly how to do that kind of at our event. So that's an example. The other example would be, let's say, give me another topic or a type of person, because that's really what it, we have chambers.
Well, one of our listeners.
Okay.
One of our listeners is Dr. Ina Gilmore from CaregivingWithPurpose.com, and she helps caregivers both to take better care of themselves and to do better at giving care. She's getting ready to do a big telesummit for Alzheimer's caregivers, and Ina is actually doing exactly what you're talking about. In doing this telesummit, she went to the American Alzheimer's Association and has gotten them to agree to sponsor this telesummit, and as part of sponsoring it, they're promoting it to all of their members. But she would be another good example.
That's
exactly.
Perfect. So that's really what it's about. It's really about finding the right audience. So you have really several steps. In the end, it's message to market, okay? It's really what it is. But then that's the end, right? The beginning starts with the right heart, the golden rule mentality, put yourself in their shoes, all that stuff, which is really critical, okay? And then you do the thinking and leadership in order to literally create an education piece first that also has carefully intertwined the selling elements that wants them to adopt it. But you see, only to adopt it, only if they truly need it. You see, when you do that, believe it or not, your sales go up. Because what happens is because you're really trying to help only the people who really need it. And when they understand that you're actually saying, look, you don't really need it, but you do, and all that, and they see that it's really, you're actually giving them true advice, what happens is they believe it. Because you see, 90% of selling is simply believing it's going to work, right? Actually help me. You know, will it actually, you know, get me from New York to California? Will it actually, you know, make my feet feel better by wearing those shoes? Or whatever it is. It's about believing that your innovation will serve them. And at the same time, if you don't take advantage of that, you make sure that they're well taken care of as a true trusted advisor, then you'll definitely prevail in that area, in space. So it's about and then creating this package, right? And then knowing how to effectively present that particular deal to them where it actually it has the highest likelihood of being accepted. And by the way, if you do all the work in advance where it's going to serve their audience best, with it, there's no downside risk. There's, matter of fact, there's upside potential beyond belief, and that there's also doesn't cost them anything, and it also helps them, and it possibly makes them money if they're allowed to accept money, if it's not an ethical issue. And at the same time, it creates unbelievably great content for their audience. None of the people in their audience are going to be upset and all that stuff. That's when you now have the kind of joint venture you need to put together for anybody who's on the call, I think.
Love it. And, you know, our best friend when we're looking for good JV partners is Google. How do
That's
you
right.
find the organizations to do everything you just talked about? Google it.
Yep.
Right.
That's right.
I call that the magic website. It's so funny. People sometimes go, well, I'm looking for blah, blah, blah. And I say, you know what? I have this magic website for you. And if you just go to this one site, you're going to find what you need. Oh, wow, what is it? You ready to write it down? Yeah, Google.
Yeah, exactly. It's really
important.
And
one of the things that Rhonda does oh so well is anyone she talks to, she starts the conversation with, how may I serve you? You do this all the time, Mark, as well. Every person I've connected you to, thinking about yourself and all the great stuff that they could help you do, you start every conversation with, how may I serve you? And I know one of the things that Rhonda does as that conversation progresses, as she figures out how she can serve them, she always finds a way to get around to, who else do you know that I can serve? If
exactly.
you ask the one
that.
Person you connect to because you found them on Google, I bet you find another 3 or 4 people to connect to just by asking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you know what it is, too? It's a confidence thing. Like as an example, one of the big things I've been focusing on is I know this just from experience, okay? It's just that 80 for whatever reason. It's probably, you know, lack of, you know, parental involvement in people's lives and things like that, I'm assuming. But bottom line is that 80% of people lack the confidence to go out there and call a stranger. I mean, they've been told since childhood, don't talk to strangers, but the only way to really make money in this world is to talk to strangers. And so I don't know what it is, but bottom line is that, so I decided to do it at the summit. Is I tried to put a whole construct together where people literally walk away with confidence galore. Okay? They're going to walk away with confidence that they know they can do it. They don't even know, they don't not believe it anymore. They actually know they can do it. And that's what half of, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of the people who sell programs, they understand that the biggest problem is really just motivating people. That's why I call them motivational speakers, because what happens is they need the confidence to go forward and to act on the simple program that it takes sometimes to get it done. And that's what it takes. And you have to believe it's going to happen. If you don't believe that your effort's going to pay off, why bother trying, right? But if you do believe it, you have confidence that you can do it, that, you know, look, we're going to show you 100 people here who have done it, and this is how they made their fortunes, you know, so now you can do it too. So join us, you know, be a part of this, and let's make this thing happen here.
That's fantastic. And, you know, so many people I talk to, and I'm sure you get this too, they always think that they need to be bigger, they need to be more established before it's time for them to start even thinking about joint ventures. Let me ask you this question, Mark. For those people listening who are fairly new in their business, when is it time to start thinking about joint ventures and actively going out finding joint venture partners?
Well, it's not the first thing, okay, unfortunately, but it's really close. Because the reason why it's not the first is, I mean, they need to know that that's one of the end goals, and we'll talk about why that's the case secondly. But to answer your question, right after they know exactly what they need to do to serve their clients, okay, they know who their clients are, their brand is, they know what their position in the market is, they know what they're going after. As soon as they know exactly who they're going after and how they're going to serve them, the next most important thing is joint ventures. And the reason why, when I say joint ventures, by the way, I'm talking about any kind of strategic partnership, okay, any kind of affiliate relationship, there's all kinds. Strategic partnerships are the higher level, affiliate relationships are the lower level. Joint ventures are kind of like the overall explanation of what all these things are, okay? But the fact is, you need to start immediately because you can't do it all. You don't want to do it all. You don't have the skill to do it all. You don't have the love of all the who likes actually spending all day long? Well, some people do actually like spending all day long on Facebook, you know, answering people's questions and all that stuff. Okay, some people like that. I personally do not. So therefore, I'm not going to do it. Okay, I don't care how valuable it is. I just don't want to do it. I'm not excited about doing it. So I love people, but that's not the way I like to communicate. So I got to find somebody, right, that loves doing that, right? I got to find somebody who not only doesn't hate doing it, but loves doing it, because they're going to be about, what, 1,000 times better than anybody else at it because they love doing it. And then what they're doing in life is that. Now, the fact is, when you're all said and done with all the different things you have to do in a business, because when you really look at the list and you really start to think it through, there's a lot of things that need to be done in business, and you don't want to do them all, trust me. And so, therefore, you need to think about it as soon as you know what that is, because whatever you don't, quote-unquote, delegate to a partner, you're doing yourself. That's just, this is the bottom line. And here's the thing. You don't have the capacity. Do you have 100,000 people you can send tomorrow and tell them about your innovation? Probably not. Definitely not when you're not first starting. So why even try to do everything? So you have to immediately say, okay, who is going to share this message with the world? Better yet, who's going to share this message with my market? Who's going to share it with their community, which is a perfect community that can use my innovation, my idea, my advice, my book, my, you know, coaching, my speaking gigs, my services, my products, whatever it is. Who are these people? And therefore, what do I need to do to make sure that they are tickled pink about promoting it and explaining it and sharing it and all that stuff? And that's really what it's about.
So what you just said was, even before you have something to sell, you should be thinking about joint ventures. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Because with the first thing, because here's what it is. Here's why. Because there's two parts of joint ventures, and the summit is actually broken up into two parts, which is innovation and marketing. You know, I've said this a lot. One of the people who was my mentor was a protege of Peter Drucker, and he said, in the end, business is innovation and marketing. All the rest is cost, which means everything else can be bought. Now, even in that case, when you buy it, you want to partner with somebody who's really who loves it and does it great at it. But the fact is that innovation really is the great idea, the great product, the great service, the great solution, the great advice, whatever it is that really a marketplace needs and wants to really fulfill and create a true, awesome, real solution to their problem, right? That's the better mousetrap. It's the better whatever. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread kind of thing, right? It's the thing that the marketplace will instantly want to adopt. Now, if you don't have that innovation, you have to create that innovation. But guess what? What's better than creating the innovation? Partnering with somebody who already has that innovation, right? There's somebody in a laboratory. There's somebody in a garage who spent the last decade dreaming about their great innovation, dreaming about how they're going to make the world worth it. Their last 10 cents every week, the last $10,000 every month, whatever, making this thing happen, thinking through all the issues to make this innovation something spectacular, learning how to be a world-class leader on windows or paper folding or whatever it is, right? They spent this time doing it. Literally tomorrow, you could actually partner with that person, and now you have the world's greatest innovation in that area available to them. You can literally make it available to your entire audience. You don't have to spend 10 years doing it. You didn't have to spend the time, money, and effort doing it. You didn't have to spend the blood, sweat, and tears putting it together. Instead, you simply partnered with them. And tomorrow, you have the greatest innovation in your marketplace. Now, what's really exciting is that the day after tomorrow, you can have the better than the best innovation in the marketplace. And how do you do that? Well, what you do is you simply partner with somebody else who has a complementary product or service that they spent the last 10 years developing, and now you put them together in a package that you know everybody who needed the first innovation also really needs the second innovation. You put it together, and now nobody except you has the greatest innovation in your market. And that's done by joint ventures. And you can do it in a week.
That is so awesome, Mark. And, you know, that's the thing that's so hard to get across to students at BU. They always go to the move that's going to be the hardest. How do they do it all themselves? How do they create it all themselves? How do they find the innovation themselves? Why is it that we're not hardwired as human beings to think about it from this perspective first?
Well, the answer, as I said earlier, is that they don't teach the two most important, well, the three most important things in school. Okay. They don't anymore teach the character from the scriptures and the ancient wisdom that gives us, you know, a true connection to, you know, the creator and all that stuff. That's the first thing. But the two biggies that are in, like, our secular world that is needed is really this thinking and leadership. They don't have a thinking class. I mean, except maybe in college, and they have a couple logic things here and there, but they do not teach people the most important elements of thinking. They don't do it. Secondly, they don't teach people leadership. They really don't. They don't have an initiative class. They don't have lessons on how do you effectively get people to work something that they already know is necessary for them to participate in. We don't have this going on. So what happens is people end up being opposite of think leaders, is what I call them. They become what? Non-thinking followers. That's really what it comes to. If you're not a thinking leader, then you're a non-thinking follower. And it's just the way it is, and therefore they're just sitting there waiting for somebody to tell them what to do. That's what's happening. They're sitting there waiting for somebody to tell them what to do. That's what it's all about, and that's why what's going on. Therefore, we're on a quest of teaching people how to actually make sure that that people start to become thinkers and they start to become leaders, and it turn some of that around. But that's another story. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Did we lose Miss Gina?
I think so, but I'll just take over.
I thought I saw Rhonda earlier, and I was asking her if she had something she wanted to ask.
Oh, okay.
There was dead space, and I unmuted myself so I could go, oh, let me jump in here. Something's wrong.
My wonderful headset again.
Oh, dear. You know, I see that we're running close on time, so Gina, first of all, I think it would be good to give the link out again for the JV Summit so people know how to get there. And that's
absolutely. It is .com/JV Summit. AskGGG.com/JV Summit. And you can always find it in the show notes as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Former co-host Vibe took over there for a minute.
You're awesome, Lana. Thank you.
I'm just going to give out the link myself, and I'm technically I'm just an auxiliary guest. here's something, Mark, I think would be good for us to talk about. And it again goes to those who are kind of new and afraid and thinking, well, I'm too small. It's good for people to assess what is it that I have to offer, what are my core skills so that I know. And if I can just tell a quick story, when I was first getting started, I was on one of my very first teleseminars ever, which at that time was all new and strange and different. And the person, before they started recording, kind of muttered, I really should put up a study guide for these, and I just never get it done. And I thought, well, I was planning to take notes anyway, so I just made him one and sent it to him.
I remember this story, Rhonda.
I know. It was very, very cool. And it was a big guy. It was somebody who already has this huge following. And I'm really good at putting educational materials together. It's just one of my skills, and I enjoy it, and I can make it look nice and easy to follow and whatever. So I just did it. And ended up some other very cool things happened because I didn't care. I didn't even think about, well, I'm so small, what do I have to offer? He just said he needed it, and I'm like, I'm going to take notes. It's only going to take me an extra 15 minutes to put on his banner and copyright and send in the Word doc and the PDF. No big deal, right? So that's the kind of thing, as you think about whatever it is you do that's as natural as breathing and very easy for you. It could be hard for that guy, even if that guy or that woman is a big name with a humongous list, it doesn't mean they have every skill or every asset they want, right?
That's right. And the other side of that is, okay, so I just told you how you're creating this company, and you could create this, find this great innovation and become the one with the greatest, you know, product in your market, industry, or niche. Well, think about it from the other perspective. If you
right.
do have that innovation, right, there's some guy out there saying, look, how am I going to do all this? How am I going to make all of this happen? How am I going to make my business the greatest business in my industry? How is he going to do that? By finding you. That's what he's going to do. And so therefore, if you understand that in advance, you don't have to be, you know, have a lack of courage to go see them. Instead, look, I think I have a solution to your problem. You know, Stephen,
mm-hmm.
I have a way that you don't have to do this anymore. I have a way that now you can thrive. I can do what I love and serve you in your marketplace. And you, on the other hand, can now coordinate the other aspects of the business that are so important to coordinate to make it all happen as the conductor, as we kind of started with this whole discussion about. So.
Right. Yeah, and that's what it's about. It's that matching what you have with what somebody needs, looking for where are the gaps. Makes it very easy, and everybody has some kind of a gap in something that they would like to do better, even if they already have people doing whatever on their team. Maybe they're looking for someone to do it better or provide it in a better way or serve their people better or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And don't just wait for someone to say, oh, I wish I had a study guide. As Rhonda said, actually do an inventory of what skills you have, what strengths you have, what things that get you really jazzed. Back when I was a JV broker, one of the things that got me in touch with a lot of the people that came into the JVs I was organizing, back then article marketing was a big deal and it was relatively new. So oftentimes I would go sit in on somebody's teleseminar or webinar or some sort of call, and I would take really good notes and turn that into an article that I would go put up on sites like eZine Articles, not even with an affiliate link, but just with a link back to their product, and then I'd send them a little note letting them know that I had done that so that they could see it. Well, not only mm-hmm. did that make emails show up thanking me for doing it, but quite often they'd call me, and on that call, now I get a chance to talk to them about what I'm all about. You can
exactly.
do that with so many different things. Article marketing, video marketing, you name it. It is not difficult to do something that serves someone else in a way that mm-hmm. gets the attention put right back on you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other Thanks. Suggestions for our listeners, Mark?
Well, you know, ultimately, you know, it's really about thinking through, you know, exactly how that people can be served and being proactive. You know, I like a statement my wife always tells our children. She says, you know, find a need and fill it, right? And it's really about another way of saying it in Napoleon Hill's terms is initiative, right? It's literally going after it. It's like not being having to be told what to look for to serve, but to go out there and really find it. You know, people
right.
talk about so many, you know, there's a bad economy and all sort of stuff. Look, there's so many people that need to be served. It's unbelievable, okay? People are still spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in coaching programs, and they're spending tons of money to go to events virtually and in person. People are buying, last year people bought $10 trillion worth of stuff in the United States, you know? I mean, it's a scarcity mentality to think that. Sure, nobody's hiring anybody, you know, anymore because of government intervention, and they, you know, now they have, you know, certain rules about Obamacare where people don't want to hire more people, and they don't want to hire more people, like, even full-time, right? So that's an issue, but that's only because of an outside factor. But what you can do is you can still serve people. You can still serve them as an entrepreneur. You can serve them as a business owner. You can work with other business owner as a third party, as an outside contractor. You can do so many opportunities on the small end. If you already have a business, you already understand this because that's what you're doing. But as a business, you need to go out there and see the needs in the marketplace. There's no better way to do that than to actually call the people and talk to them on the phone. There's no better way. Now, even in person isn't as good. On the phone, you'd be surprised how much information people will give you if you know how to ask them the right information. And you can create the most unbelievable research dossier on exactly what they want, what they need, what they're willing to pay for, and what you need to actually go out and create a joint venture with somebody who already has that innovation. I mean, it's that simple, really, in many ways. It's about really initiative thinking and, of course, the leadership to take action on those things.
It absolutely is. Well, thank you so much, Mark, and I hope our listeners join us on March 11th in Atlanta for the upcoming Joint Venture Summit. You'll find your information about it and the way to reserve your seat at askggg.com/JV Summit. Again, thanks so much, Mark, for being here. Thank you, Rhonda, for playing with us. I really appreciated you being here as well.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah, enjoyed it. Thank you, Mark. Always good to hear you again, and Gina. And I hope
right.
people join us.
That was great. And thanks for jumping in on that. You made the call really great there, Rhonda. Thank you. And Gina,
you sure
thanks
did.
Again for having me here. I really appreciate it. And as always, I do appreciate everything that you're doing here on this radio show and serving all your listeners in really awesome ways with great content.
Thank you, Mark. And Linda and I will be back next week, same time, same place, for another episode of Breakthrough Directions. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.